Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And so if you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and Mobius Strip Press, you will be able to get our content and understand what the heck it is we need to do to reclaim our republic. Bottom line, it is called Auditing the Constitution, and that is what I refer to as Republic Review. That is a play on the concept of judicial review, an unconstitutional concept. However, Republic Review is actually a constitutional concept, understanding that the states are the stakeholders of the Constitution or contract. And so, as such, the states actually have the authority and right and power to audit the said contract and hold the subordinate in that contract, the federal government, accountable. And so without any other delays, let me move forward because I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to be doing another interview, or I'm going to air the second interview I had with Aaron Tilbury, because there's just so much to understand. And I'm telling you, folks, this is going on in your community. So what I would like to see is other people working with way leaders, priests, ministers, and what have you, and start learning and understanding. Because the only way that our communities are going to take back this is, one, you know, changing our laws, of course, but understanding and recognizing the signs of kids that are in trouble and helping to advocate, step in, and so forth. And I'm not the expert, so that's why I'm going to tell you to go reach out to Aaron Tilbury with the Jonah Project. That being said, how would you like your group or your organization, or even yourself personally, to be able to have a free presentation by me? All you have to do is go to the ReclaimingTheRepublic.org website, and you click on the Take Action button. And down underneath the slides, there's a couple of PDF slides that are available right there. That is the slides of my presentation that I did last. And right underneath that is a link to the YouTube Reclaiming the Republic website, or actually this channel on YouTube. You click on that, that'll take you straight to the last presentation I did in August. And I go through this by the numbers with all the supporting information and so forth. It's really hard to do in this medium with commercials, and plus there's no visual. So I would just ask that you kind of do that. And maybe someday I'll actually be able to go through that if we have enough people that are actually in possession of the slides, and maybe do an open forum. But this is a one-hour content show, so it has to be pretty fast-paced, and it's hard to get all of that type of stuff in, as well as supporting sponsors and those types of things. So I would just, you know, say that if you want to see that presentation, there you go. And that will be very informative. All the feedback I get is most people are blown away because they just never understood the Constitution in that context. Setting up crowdfunding. I kind of mentioned this. I blurted this out yesterday, and I wanted to actually say it in the very beginning. Looking at doing a GoFundMe, Fundly. I'm trying to weigh between the different sites. And so either way, I will be announcing this, and I'm going to explain everything on detail on the website, as well as on my websites myself. But on the funding site, I will have some incentives and so forth. And so hopefully, as well as other players in this, offering some incentives. And so I'm hoping that we can get the money we need to basically pay for the marketing for doing a big grand fundraising, a crowdfunding for doing these rodeos. And so let me put it into the context for you. This is why we're doing this. If you look in the news today, there is a plethora of distractions, from the White House firing staff cycle to the violence in the streets, protests, and so forth. And so it is a nonstop amusing circus that keeps us, and it is designed to keep us distracted. The only way we're going to succeed is through laser focus on our objective. Our objective has to be to get at least one state, if not the six states we're focusing on, to call for an audit. Why? Why do we want to call, why do we want just one or so forth? These six states that I've selected, if you go to statescape.com, you will find that these are the top six states that have the greatest conservative control. I mean, I think it's 4-1 or maybe 6-1 in Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, the two Dakotas and Kansas. And so what can you do to help and how can you get engaged in this? Well, with today's technology, we are no longer limited to long distance phone calls. We all have unlimited long distance. We got Skype, email, social media. You have the ability to reach out to people you know in these states and get them engaged and get them informed. This needs to go, if we want to do this, this really does need to go viral. And it's not viral about me, it's viral about you and we. And so if we can get one of these six states to flip and to initiate the audit, then we now have traction because that state can call upon other states and begin to educate them. I'm waiting for the day when so many states are calling to have me come and talk and present, because I've already got people that I'm hoping are lined up and learning so that they can actually go in my stead to all these states, because I can't be in all places at once. That's why it's not about me. It's about creating this army, not necessarily cloning me, but cloning the principle of it's our contract. The states have to take it back and the states have to assert themselves. And if we do this, and I have people like Doug Gibbs, John Chambers, and others going into these states to basically testify and tell them to do your stinking job. Your people are suffering from tyranny. Are you kidding me? How much more is it? You go through the marketing that I go through and trying to convince and motivate you to get more involved and get active. And so with that, I think it's really important that we start working together, because yes, you actually have the ability. And I want to tell you, California probably had the biggest influence on Trump winning the election last year, not by the elections within, but California had more exertions out of state in phone calls and getting people out to vote, because they kind of understand that it's a lost cause in California. So there were organizations that were calling in the battleground states, getting conservatives to vote. So they're sharing information and we're working across state lines. That's what we have to do. And you actually have the ability, if you live in Maryland, even though you're maybe a dark blue state, or New York or California, you have the ability to get engaged and to find out who to talk to and who to start motivating. And this information will be available with hopefully the focus page and other resources that I'm working with and I'm connecting with. I mean, I was just blown away. I had a great interview with Mr. Griffin today. I need to get those squeezed in. And I've actually got 15 seconds or less to finish this segment. And then we'll go into speaking with Mr. Tilbury. I really appreciate and I thank you for tuning in. And I plead and beg you to please start getting involved in every way we possibly can. These kids need our help and this republic needs our help. We need to do this. We can no longer afford apathy and indifference. And so with that, when we come back from this break, we will have Aaron Tilbury in a previous interview I did with him. And I think you'll find it fascinating and I hope you find it motivating. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Rippey Homes is a family-owned business that has been building homes in the Spokane area for over a decade. For years, they've offered their customers an array of construction projects and services, but due to market demands, they now exclusively focus building high-efficiency homes and business offices, offering custom turnkey solutions for customers seeking to save money on operational costs while enjoying the latest innovations and construction technology. They understand many of these features can be expensive, but this is why they work closely with a team of leading designers to integrate the details and options that suit your needs. When it comes to translating designs into reality, the artisans they employ make this happen. If you're interested in building a cutting-edge dream home or office, then contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. All right, so we're back, and as I promised, or as I gave you heads up, I have Aaron Tilbury back with us, and one of the things that we never got a chance to talk about in the previous show was his model that he set up the Jonah Project with and how successful that is. And so, Jonah, I'm hoping that you can kind of give us a little bit of a background on the model that you're using with the Jonah Project.
Yeah. It basically revolves around, for us, this core principle that shelter and advocacy are the necessary ingredients. And so it kind of started with us realizing that whether it's public health or whatever agency, all these different things that we're dealing with, mental health issues, drug addiction, all this kind of stuff for young people, that walking them through a life as an advocate that leads to healing required having shelter for them. And that we couldn't just have shelter without having somebody help walk them through life that leads to healing. And so when we look at all of these different factors that kids deal with in society today, what we realize is really it wasn't linear, that it was kind of like a sphere of influence kind of thing, and that the core of that was shelter and advocacy. And so realizing as we were helping those first young ladies that there just wasn't shelter that existed for them, that was kind of our initial, okay, we've got to figure out a way. And so our initial model was simply we're going to do rescue/relocation, right? We're going to go into places, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, we're going to go in and we're going to, assuming that we're called, right? We're not just going to go kick down doors in, you know, local homes. But if we get a call, we're going to respond and we're going to take this child, this woman out of this dark place and then relocate them someplace for their physical safety. Sometimes that's geographically another state. Sometimes it's a safe home, whatever that is. And so our initial model was simply that. And what we realized as well is advocacy needed to take on a kind of a whole new level, because as we were helping these now rescued and housed survivors with resource, we realized that navigating those resources was also a challenge if those resources even existed. And so our model now is shelter and advocacy. And what that looks like for us, we have kind of two core principles that I'll talk about, and this kind of funnel fuels everything that we do. The first is transformative compassion. It's this belief for us that in providing not just resource, but relational trust to another human being and actually walking through life with them, not only will their life be changed and transformed, not only will this human being be able to heal, it's going to do something inside of us. It's going to change us as a community, as an individual. And so for us, there's this kind of, I guess the warm, fuzzy part of Jonah is this belief in transformative compassion. The other part of that is what we call transparent aftercare. And that's where our model in terms of services and resources, the mechanics of the model plays out. I mentioned we have two homes running right now. Our goal is to get a third up and running, because a third of the calls that we have that come in from school counselors or other agencies or from our rescue line are for young men. And we right now have a waiting list for young men. I've got no housing for them. I get a call probably every other day from a school counselor asking me for a place for a young man, and we just don't have anything.
So there's no place for young men to go, or do you pull them out of their environment or their dark place and send them somewhere else?
Yeah. So if, you know, here's part of the problem is that if we don't have a place to take them for them to heal, there's no point in pulling them out. In fact, the only really meaningful study on human trafficking that's been done on a national level was just released last year, 2016. It was put together by 7 survivors that work in the industry now on a national level and work on law and ordinance and all that kind of stuff. And one of the statements they made is, if you don't have safe housing and resources for us, don't even bother rescuing us. And one of the things that we see is just the reality of a human being who's been broken down and doesn't see themselves as a human being anymore. And so without appropriate resource and housing, and they're going to go right back to that life. Or if they're accepted into some kind of program that doesn't really meet their level of trauma or their need, they'll wash out of that program, or the program will kick them out. And that's something that we see. And the issue is when the program doesn't want them anymore, we all know who does.
So let me beg this next question. How many candidates' lives in dark spaces have you had to leave behind?
I have... We've never not responded to a call.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, if you don't have a way to house them,
yes,
and you kind of have to leave them in that situation, how often does that occur? If you don't have a quantitative number, you know.
Yeah. So for us as a project, every single call we've ever got for a rescue, if we didn't have housing, we would come up with volunteer dollars and we would house somebody in a hotel with an advocate until we found another agency that had a bed someplace else.
Okay, so there's...
So we've never left anybody in a place that's asked for help. That's our concern, though. If we, you know, like I said, I got a waiting list of young men that school counselors are calling me about that I don't even know the level of darkness that some of these young men are experiencing, because I've got no resources for them. I do want to just point out there is an agency in town called Crosswalk. The issue is that the school counselors in particular, if I started taking kids to crosswalk, they'd never send another kid my way. We have some places in town that kids can go. Cup of Cool Water is one. I'm a good friend of Mark Terrell, who was a former director there. We talk about it all the time, where the kid can go there, but there's no safety net to stop the pimp or the predator from walking right in there and taking the kid right back out.
So there's no security.
There's no security or safety. There's no advocate that's with them to remind them, nope, you're not an animal. You're a human being, and there's people around you that love you. You know, even the language, and I'll get back to the model in a second, but I just want to make this point. Even the language that these human beings, these kids, have been trained to use for themselves and one another is animalistic language. They literally do not see themselves as a human being anymore. I'll just to give you kind of an idea of, without being graphic, what that looks like. What they call the place that they take these kids as they groom and prepare them for the work that they're going to force them to do, this sex slavery, they call it the breaking grounds.
Just like with horses.
Yes. And if anybody's ever seen a cowboy roughly break a horse, it's like 10 times worse.
Right, right. Because the mental capacity that a horse has does not equate to a human being. Right. And the cognitive abilities just aren't there.
And that's what we're talking about. Right. Is we're talking about predators that have been trained to figure out which of these girls was actually maybe molested at 6 or 7 years old. She's ripe for the pickings for them, right? It's like a wolf in the woods. He doesn't go after the bull moose. He waits for the crippled one or the baby who's at the back, right? And that's what we see here. And so the second part I want to just get into with our model, that transparent aftercare piece, for us is huge, because this healing – It is love. It is compassion, right? And for me, I would say it is Jesus. But I will say that there's a lot of different – those words mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. The important key component here is a human being, which we all are. We're not built and trained to perform. We're built and designed, created to experience freedom.
Right.
And when that's robbed of us, right, and we forget what that even tastes, sounds, feels like, or maybe we've never even seen it before. So for us, the model has to be walking a human being however long it takes through life,
right,
until they're able to make their own free choices again. Even sometimes it's a choice that I don't agree with, but it's theirs.
Right. Well, so I know that we're running out of time. So in the next segment, when we come back, I wanted to, you know, have you expound more upon the model, but I believe that there are organizations that you've probably ran head to head with, and that I think it's important people understand that the good work that you're doing is being actually I don't want to use the word thwarted, but it's being frustrated by other organizations that are more concerned with their agenda, as you've kind of enlightened me on this. And I think it's important that people understand that you're getting resistance on the good things that you're doing from people that only care about their agenda. And so, again, when we come back from the break, because we're just now hitting that hard limit. So please stay tuned, and we'll be back with Aaron and the Jonah Project as soon as we come back after listening to our sponsors. So thank you very much, and we'll be right back. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships. From the designers they work with, the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner, they relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculptor taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, Rippey Homes takes a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component in the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream. To make your dreams become reality, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. Okay, so we are back with Aaron Tilbury and the Jonah Project, and he was talking about this model, and as I was mentioning, that there are organizations, and I think the best word is frustrations that are given to you from either organizations and or individuals and so forth, and without, you know, having to name names or anything else, unless you want to, what are those types of things that you have to deal with within your operations that, you know, are frustrating for you?
Yeah,
because I don't think people garner, you know, how, you know, you could be considered a threat.
You know, it wasn't something I was sure we were going to talk about today, and I'm actually a little excited that you brought it up, GR, because you know, frustration is a good word. This what we deal with anyway, wading into this darkness, yeah. It gets heavy, right? Vicarious trauma and compassion fatigue and all these things that we deal with. And so you get tired, you get exhausted, you get frustrated. And probably the most frustrating thing for me as a human being, and probably for other people on my team as well, is the idea that going into a dark place to pull a child or a woman who's asked for help out and then provide them resource and free choice, that there's anything negative about that at all. Because the reality is I've searched my heart and my brain and I can't find anything negative about that. And yet there was another organization here locally that does some advocacy for trauma victims, that is a community servant. and didn't want to work with us. And in fact, we found they were kind of bad mouthing us a little bit over the nature of the rescue. And one of the things that came up was, well, we don't know if that's empowering women. And my statement was to them, and also to several hundred people at our last rally, was, look, here's the deal. That child or that woman is second guessing whether or not anybody cares about them anymore every night. Every 15 to 20 times that they are brutalized, they're wondering, does God exist and does anybody care? They see our billboard downtown and they're second guessing whether or not they should call. They sneak one of our cards that's been handed to them from another kid, or maybe they found it in a crack like some girl did actually a month or so ago that we did a rescue. They find it in a crack on the sidewalk in front of the Fox Theater, and they're holding this card with our phone number in their hand, second guessing whether or not they should call, should text, whether or not we're real, who are we? If somebody calls that line, if they have been able to summon enough courage and gumption to call us, we are coming every time without fail. And then we will empower them with free choice the moment that they are to a safe place.
And there's people that think that giving them free choice and their liberty. So I give you a little, because I don't want to take up much of your time, but my perspective in writing about liberty, liberty is three symbiotic elements that they have to work together or you don't have liberty. And the first element is free agency. A person has to have free agency to be able to enjoy liberty. But the two other components are the constraints of free agency. And the first one is responsibility. You have to be responsible with your actions, with your words, whatever it is you say, you have to be responsible. And then that third one is accountable. If you've crossed that line and you've done damage, property damage, personal damage, emotional damage, where you've lost trust, you have to be accountable and apply those magical words of, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this, you know, and pay your restitution as necessary. I mean, it goes hand in hand with, I think, the Christian principles, but liberty and what you're handing people in giving them their freedom and liberty is, I think, essential for all partakers in mankind.
You know, I agree with you. Obviously, as a pastor, you know, I look through a, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, a faith-based lens or a Jesus lens. But, you know, for me, the idea that it was for freedom's sake that we were set free, that's not my words, right? That's scripture that tells us how important this freedom thing is. And I think sometimes public agencies, particularly government public agencies, can see something that is maybe a faith-based organization and immediately write it off. And the issue is, for me, how does somebody exercise that liberty that you're talking about if they're still in a spot where they have no physical freedom and no promise for it? See, the FBI tells us that 99% of slaves will never be rescued. And of the 1% that are, 96% of them will never lead a normal life. For us, what a normal life means is being able to make those choices that you talked about, being accountable, and also being able to choose what relationships I'm involved in.
Right.
And this human being has called for help because they don't get to choose their relationships and they have no freedom. Well, we're going to empower that. I actually see that not only as not unempowering a woman, I find it as empowering as it could possibly be to get her back to a place where she can make those choices and start that walk that's her own walk of her own choosing.
Right. So, I don't want to bring into, you know, the context of what I've talked about and what I'm doing, because it's a little bit different. But I think there's a similarity. And I use a metaphor or a story model regarding the empowerment of the individuals, because our republic has 50 individuals that have the power over our Constitution. Those are the states. And so the metaphor I use, if you've seen The Lord of the Rings, and if you remember that scene where Gandalf comes into the throne of Rohan, and I forget the king's name, who is under a spell by Wormtongue, I believe is the other character, and you can see his eyes glazed over. He just looks old, aged, decrepit, because he believes he is, and he's been convinced by this evil evildoer Wormtongue and putting him under this spell. And basically, Gandalf just has to break the spell by saying, arise. All you have to do is stand up and stand, you know, against this.
Yes. And you know, here's the biggest weapon that these bad guys have,
right,
and will continue to be, is fear.
Right.
There is no reason that those two Ukrainian guys should have not let me have it that night, except for I'm not afraid of them, and they knew it. And that's why they're not going to come and shoot up every house. If we, you know, one of the big fears is in our communities, well, we can't house these kids because then the bad guys are going to come and shoot up our house. Where do we see that happening anywhere in the news? We're at child 88 right now.
Right.
So the reality is when we make a stand and say, this is not acceptable in our society and we're not afraid of you, see, you don't call the shots, we do. Those are our children and we right. want them home. We got to make that statement as a community. And so right now we really need more men and more women to step up. And whether it's a part of our model or us helping them create their own or whatever that looks like. But you're right. Fear is the weapon they have. And we got to erode that.
Right. So back to the models.
Yeah.
So
one of the other pieces of resistance we've gotten that's kind of big for us is we're dealing with a lot of young people
uh-huh.
is schools. So believe it or not, we're welcome on a couple different school campuses. But I can't have conversations with the principals about sex trafficking. They don't want to talk about it, and they don't want me talking to their kids about it.
So it doesn't fall within their job description to discuss the general welfare of the children that's on their campus.
Right. We are being called by counselors from their office to pick up children, some of which have been domestic, sexually abused, or sex trafficked.
But they're willing to talk about curriculum topics such as health or sex
well,
education.
For me, my thing is we've been talking about slavery in schools since these kids were in elementary school, right? We talked about slavery. It's right. in our history book. Why won't we talk about slavery that's happening in the house directly across the street from our public high school?
Well, so when we talk about slavery, especially in the education system today, we talk about it through the paradigm or through the lens of the progressives. Because if you read our history books that they're giving to the kids, you would think that we invented slavery, that the whole world existed for, you know, millennia. And then when America came along, we just invented this new course of slavery, when people really don't understand, you know, the slavery had been around for 5,000 years. Slavery was a standard practice in life, just like using a belt to hold up your pants. You didn't even give it a thought. That's how labor was done. And, I ran out of time for this segment. So when we come back, we'll kind of pick this back up as far as the model and, you know, how slavery is killing us, folks. And so please stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thank you very much. This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. Thousands of people each month are moving to what is referred to as the Redoubt area. That's REDOUBT. If you're tired of insane liberal policies and you have a growing concern in the ideological makeup of your community, you should do what many others are doing and look into joining us here in the Redoubt area. If you settle on moving to the Spokane area, you need to contact Rippey Homes to help you develop the ideal solution that can help you reduce your operational costs and reduce your dependence on the nation's aging infrastructure. Rippey Homes offers a full package service, including real estate, Passive House designers, with an array of options to help you blend in with your surroundings. Why risk what is important, your family and your home? So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com in the heart of the Redoubt country. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Well, I was just telling Aaron that I was going to unleash him from his chains, because I've been holding him over here talking about his Jonah project. And I told him that we'll let him go after this, but I wanted him to, you know, get a little bit more into the model, the frustrations that he deals with, as well as some ways that, you know, we can throw maybe some ideas at your windshield or at your wall, wherever you're sitting, to maybe get you to think of opportunities that you might have in assisting the Jonah Project. So back to the model.
Yeah. So we talked about transparent aftercare and kind of what that looks like. Ultimately, it's walking a human being through life, helping them access resources, creating opportunities for them to learn how to make free choices, engage in relationships of their choosing. That's our model. So it's rescue and relocation is kind of typically the tip of the spear.
Right.
Now, it's not always a rescue. If I get a call from, for example, last week I got two calls from Life Services over on North Ash, okay, where they house women with babies.
Okay.
We've actually, I think we've relocated four women from that agency now. Maybe they show up and they figure out, one of the women actually wasn't a trafficking victim. There was a gang hit out on her, but she needed to be relocated, and we do that. So it may not always be a rescue. It could be something that's a little bit tamer. And it starts with an assessment or an intake. And so I have my wife is really probably the best person we have at doing it, but we are training, and we've got a couple other women that are really stepping up. And so we do an assessment. And then from there, we figure out what's going to be the best housing resource for this human being. And so it's not always necessarily one of our homes that's appropriate. Or maybe the trauma isn't relative to what we deal with. And so there are times where we get calls. It's not just trafficking, but there's other stuff involved, and so we'll help with that. At the point that we've figured out and assessed that we're going to house this person, this woman or this child, that's where what we do is our model looks like this. We have a house leader or a couple that are house leaders that are assigned to the home that are there for overnight. Make sure that, heck, in the middle of the night, one of these gals or kids needs to talk to somebody, they're there. But also if there is an emergency or something like that, they're there. Maybe they're helping them with their meds or making sure that they remember their mental health appointment, whatever that is. But with each – and this is where I think that what we do is probably a little bit different and why we need so much help, aside from the fact that this problem isn't going away tomorrow, is that we assign an advocate one-on-one with each one of the survivors. There's a lot of reasons for it, but I'll just be very brief. At the end of the day, that's where we're truly going to see the seismic change in a human life. Is another human being walking with them. So not just making sure they have access to a resource, but even being there through the mental health appointment or through the doctor's appointment and making sure that those services that were promised were really provided, making sure that the mental health specialist is really digging into the type of trauma that's relative to this victim. Because we have a couple of agencies like Excelsior and Frontier Health that do that, and we've actually sat there a number of times and realized that like this victim, this survivor now, is actually – The trauma that the is not being addressed really very deeply. And so it's almost kind of like showing up for the once a week meeting, but we're not really diving into meaningful stuff and helping this human being heal. So we have to have an advocate that will ensure that those things will happen.
Right.
You mentioned frustrations a couple of times. And, you know, I guess the thing is that our biggest allies in this fight have been school counselors. And it's because they love these kids too. They're out there working at a grassroots level. And many times, like us, finding themselves loving a child and then coming up against a wall where there's just no more resource. You know, I mentioned the waiting list I had for a young man. It's one of those things where there's a little bit of kind of playing with the clutch a little bit, because the schools can also be an area that could, and we're not there yet, be maybe the most impactful. I literally mean this. Maybe the most impactful freedom fighter in this fight.
Right.
Because they have our children around them all the time. They profess care and love for them. They institute policies to look after their physical safety, and they provide access of resource to these kids. So we got to start educating. And that's been one of the big things for me, is that we had a law in Washington in 2003, the first state in the United States to have a law against human trafficking, 2003. We did nothing meaningful for a half decade.
So it was just lipstick on a pig.
There you go. Now 2008 rolls around, and we do a meaningful study in Spokane alongside law enforcement. And that's where we first ascertained maybe there's 500-600 of these kids.
Right.
That was 2008. It's 2017, and I'm on the radio with you as the only service provider for rescue and reload in Spokane, and one of two agencies that provide advocacy. We're the only people going to get these kids and the only people housing them for free.
So there's a lot of money in it for you, is what you're saying, because you have a monopoly on the market.
That's right. That's right. And so one of the frustrations is obviously is with, you know, I'll be honest, is a little bit with a community that had to be aware that this was a problem on some level, because we passed a law in 2003.
Right.
And more importantly, not even the community, but the agencies, our civic government agencies, that were totally aware this is an issue, but don't have a plan.
So what I want to kind of wrap up with, because apparently there's this huge crack that this problem has slipped into, and you're the only one that's really diving into this. And so supporting you and getting opportunities to people that I think have resources, you know, what is it you need? I'm going to presume that if somebody has a rental property, that you guys pay rent, but do you have the ability, if somebody came up and said, hey, I have a rental property, you know, this is how much my rent costs, what, you know, how, working out a deal.
We're probably a third of the way to the boys' home. And by that, and I mentioned under $1,400. And so we've probably got right now about $500 in monthly giving.
Okay.
That's going to go towards our next home.
Okay.
So if, for example, there was someone out there who has a property, maybe it's even a two-bedroom or something. Right? We have nothing right now. So anything would be better than zero. And they said, you know what? Maybe it's empty right now. Maybe they've got no rent being paid on it. And they were willing to provide us some space, knowing that we're going to provide an advocate. We're not going to trash the house. This is going to be – we have insurance. We're a 501c3. Those types of things. That would be huge. One of the things that I have frequently echoed is this term Underground Railroad. And I really truly believe that that's going to be a huge part of what Jonah pushes for, is continuing to not just bring awareness but ask for resources across the country. We've got to figure out areas for these kids so that they're in danger and a bad guy is after them, and we already know we don't have the jail space, so we're not going to prosecute the bad guy. How can this kid navigate school, getting on a bus to find a job, going into DSHS for social service, when that bad guy is out there going to hurt him again? So We've got to figure out a way to geographically relocate them.
Right.
You mentioned the rental property. That is probably the most proficient way to do it.
Okay, so there's rental property. Is there other mechanisms where people can, you know, reach out as far as resources? Some people may have furnishings. Some people may have the money, but
yes.
Sometimes people may not have the money, but they have other resources.
Absolutely.
Like a car.
Absolutely. In fact, we got the car that I am driving for rescues right now. It was a donated four-door white Ford Taurus, and it's awesome for what we
need. How can people get engaged?
JonahProject.org.
Okay.
And I will go ahead and just throw out our hotline number real quick. It's 509-655-7866. JonahProject.org. And you can email us through that. We always need donated goods that we can sell. There's always a spot for you. And I don't care about your skill set. I'm pretty sure when Harriet Tubman was setting up spots along the Underground Railroad, she didn't care about people's skill sets, what college degree they had. Will you help us carry the weight? Do you care to get involved in this freedom fight? Because if you do, there is a place for you at the table. We'll help you find it.
All right. So my engaged listeners hopefully will be reaching out and hopefully blessing your organization.
Thank you.
Any way they possibly can. And so with that, I just want to throw this in here because this is a very powerful interview. What I believe I didn't have a chance to really bring forward and talk to Aaron about, and I want you to think about this, is the fact that he's actually fighting a curriculum that I believe is culpable for creating this immoral bedrock, or the decay of our bedrock with immorality. And that's the fact that the curriculum that these schools are embracing is the curriculum of sexualizing our children. They're teaching them alternative lifestyles, transgenderism, and all sorts of things. And so by the time these kids are at that point of becoming targets and victims, they're already in the space, and they've already been prepped for becoming sexual entities. And so this is a huge problem. And I know that it's not just alone in, you know, Atlanta, San Diego, Seattle, Illinois, the big cities, because I'm telling you, folks, your city's got this problem, and if you start actually looking, you will be scared. And so we need to do something about this. And this is why I try to share, you know, I go off topic a little bit sometimes like this. This information regarding this problem is suppressed. You're not hearing about this in your local news. You're not hearing about it on the national media and so forth. Every once in a while, they'll show a big bust and everybody feels good because they saved a few kids. Put this in context. Every single one of these boys and girls is somebody's son and daughter. And some of these women out there that are trapped in this as well, they're still somebody's daughter. And we've got to be far more compassionate. We've got to start really looking at what is the cause of this decay. What Aaron is fighting is a very big and real problem. And I believe that we have to take back the moral narrative, especially in the schools, just like I said a few weeks ago with that Florida shooting, that we don't have a gun problem, we have a morality problem. Bring back prayer in schools, bring back the use of the Bible and true morality back in our schools, and let kids be vessels of good moral consciousness. And I truly believe that that is, that will bring the fruit of changing our culture once again. But the problem is that we've become the party and the people of compromise, and the communists, when you hear Mr. Griffin talk about this, they're programmed to not compromise a second. They will not compromise anything, anyway, anyhow. And so we're heading down this path of them not compromising and us constantly compromising. And so I would just basically ask you to start thinking about all the things that you can do, whether that be engaging with Republic Review or even helping these kids in your neighborhood. There is enough out there for you to get involved in. And that's the whole intent of trying to go off topic. I hope you enjoyed this. We'll be back tomorrow with some other really good information. Thank you so much.